and then Joshua had taken them into the promised land. And Joshua had won many battles, but there were still lots of enemies, because they didn't wipe everyone out. They didn't fulfill God's word to the full letter, and they were living in a mixed environment. They were living with the Canaanites. They were living with other people. And in the book of Judges, probably the two most famous judges that we know of were Deborah and Gideon. Now, we know that Gideon God won the battle. God wins all the battles. But Gideon, that huge battle against the Midianites, because the book of Gideon starts with Israel had turned against God and God had delivered them over. Samson starts out the same way, where the Israelites had turned against God and he'd given them over to their enemies for 40 years. So there's a lesson in that. Like, we know that God is our provider, God is our protector, and we're very quick to pick up on those scriptures. But if we turn against God, he can hand us over. It's a choice. Jolly is saying, are you ready? Are you ready? Because if you turn against what God is asking you to do, the word of God says trust and obey. And how many ways are there? There's no other way. Trust and obey. That's it. There's not A, B, C or D, multiple choice. Trust and obey. There's no other way. And if you don't trust and don't obey, you're on your own. And in the book of Judges, they were on their own. And in Judges 17:6, it says, there was no king in Israel in those days, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Which is really how we're living today, or how the world is living today. In the world, people are doing what is right in their own eyes. They make their own judgments. They do what they think is right. But because it's our own eyes or their own eyes, everyone is different. Whereas God is the same yesterday, today and forever. His laws don't change. His judgments don't change. His word never fails. So in the book of Judges, in the time of Samson, the people had turned away from God. Which, you know, how many times do you read that in the Old Testament, where the people had turned away and they were doing what was right in their own eyes and God handed them over? And it wasn't that long before with Gideon, because he was one of the judges. Now, the judges, you know, they weren't like the judge today sitting up in the courthouse with their hammer ruling judgments. They were the leaders. Like the judge, they were the military leaders, they were the leaders of the country, and they were called judges. And there was, in the time of Samson, there was a man named Manoah, and his wife was childless. And one day, Manoah's wife was out in the field, and the angel of the Lord came and spoke to her and said, you are going to have a son. He is going to be a Nazarite from birth, and you are not allowed to have anything unclean, to have anything from the vine, or to drink any strong drink. And the boy, that was for the mother, and the boy is to be a Nazarite from birth. Again, nothing unclean, nothing, no alcohol, nothing from the grapevine, and don't come at any dead carcasses or touch anything unclean, and never to have a razor touch his hair. And that was, and then so she goes back and tells her husband, and a husband cries out to God and says, come again. The husband wanted to be in part of this heat. So God heard his cry and he came back and he presented himself to his wife again out in the field. She goes and calls the husband, and the husband declares, the angel of the Lord tells the same story again. Now, they didn't realize it was an angel of the Lord, even though his wife had said, he's like an angel, it's awesome. It's like she'd sensed it, but the husband didn't. And the husband says, let me get a young goat and offer you something to eat. And he said, even if you detain me, I will not eat your food. But offer a sacrifice, a burnt offering and a grain offering unto the Lord. So they did. They lit a fire, they prepared the goat, and they offered a burnt offering unto the Lord. And in that fire, in that flame, the man of God ascended in the flame up to heaven and was gone and was seen no more. And they fell on their faces when they realized they had seen an angel. And they said, surely we will die. Surely we are doomed. Well, actually, the man, Manoah, said, surely we are doomed. Surely we will die. But his wife said, not so. He's given us a word. We're going to have a son. We're going to raise that boy. He wouldn't have done that. He wouldn't have accepted our offering. And sure enough, they didn't die. And she became pregnant and had a son. Now, it doesn't talk much about his upbringing or about his younger days. But when he was when he'd grown up and he was a young man, so there, remember, they're in the promised land, they're living in Canaan, but they've got, you know, they've got mixed culture, they've got different peoples around, and we know that Gideon took care of all the Midianites, but now it's the Philistines. They're under the control, they're under the rule of the Philistines. We know that David had a lot to do with the Philistines. Once there was the book of Judges, there was the book of Ruth, and then Samuel, and it goes on with all the kings from there. Once there was kings, but at this stage, everyone is just doing what is right in their own eyes. And so Samson is now a young man, and he goes into the Philistine territory down to a place called Timnah. And he sees a woman, and he goes back to his mother and father, and he says to them, I've seen a woman, get her for me, for my wife. And they said, why are you going down to the uncircumcised Philistines? Get a wife from our own people, from our own family, like from our own culture. And he said, no, she is the one, get her. That was his answer. He wanted this woman. So off they go, father, mum and dad and Samson. Now, actually, just something else that just came to my mind. Samson wasn't a huge, big bodybuilder. He wasn't a giant man. He was just a regular guy. You know, you see a movie of Samson and he's, you know, 300 kilos and muscles on muscles on muscles. But, you know, the men of God, like David took out Goliath. He was a little kid. The strength of God is the strength of God. It wasn't anything to do with his own power. Anyway, they're going down to Timnah to meet this woman. And they must have, I don't know, that because it says that the parents didn't see it, so they must have separated. And Samson was on his own walking, and a young lion came roaring out of the bushes and attacked him. And it says he tore it apart with his bare hands like a young goat. And then they continued on. He didn't tell his family or his mum and dad. Got down there, met this woman, made arrangements for the wedding, went back home, and a short while later, they were coming back for the wedding. And again, Samson must have been separated, and he looked over and he saw the carcass of this lion. Now, remember, he's a Nazarite. He's not supposed to touch anything dead or unclean. And he saw a swarm of bees and a beehive in the carcass of this dead lion. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a beehive and a swarm of bees, but you don't go anywhere near it. Even if you can smell the smell of honey, you hear that buzzing and it's bees swarming, but it says he went and scooped it out. Now, has anyone kept bees or had anything to do with bees and they've got the full they've got the full kit on and they smoke them and they drug the, like, docile the bee. He just went up there to this beehive and scooped it. Can you imagine? Have you ever stirred a beehive or seen a beehive stirred? They go crazy. It doesn't even say he got stung. So God, even though he was doing something against his vow as a Nazirite, he was putting his hand into this carcass and pulling out the honey, he didn't get touched with the bees. He has a feed of honey, takes it back to his parents. Here, Mum, have some honey. Here, Dad, have some honey. They didn't know where it came from. And then they go down to Timnah. And so it's not a very big wedding party because there's just Mum and Dad and the woman. So it says that the locals rounded up 30 young men for the wedding feast. So there was 30 guys for the wedding feast, and they have a big celebration for the wedding. And then Samson says, I've got a riddle for you, for the 30 guys, because he had 30 guys in his wedding party. And he says, I've got a riddle for you. And he said, if you can guess the answer to this riddle, you have to give me 30 sets of linen and 30 fine garments. So he must have liked his fancy clothes. And then he says, if you guess it, I'll give you 30 fine garments and 30 pieces of linen. So they would have got one each, because there's 30 of them. He would have got 30 for himself. And they said, okay, tell us the riddle. So he says, out of the eater, I better get it right. Out of the eater came something sweet, out of the eater came something to eat, out of the strong came something sweet. And they're thinking, what does this mean? And they couldn't get it. Now he's on his honeymoon. He just got married. He's given this riddle, and he hadn't told anyone. So his wife says to him, after 3 days, these guys kept coming and coming and coming. His wife said to me, tell me the riddle. I'm your wife, tell me. And he says, I haven't even told my parents. I'm not going to tell you. The next day, the 30 guys who are, you know, these are part of the wedding feast. What did they do? They go to her and say, if you do not tell me, if you don't coax it out of me, well, I'm going to burn you and your father. So it wasn't a very close-knit wedding. The 30 guests were going to kill the bride and the father for the sake of a garment. So it wouldn't have... It's a crazy story, but I mean, that's just the way it was. So goes to Samson bawling her eyes out every day, which I'm sure she wasn't the first bride on a honeymoon to be crying every day. So she goes, but she had good reason. Her life is in danger. So what does he do? He gives in and he tells her. And then at the very last day, on the seventh day, the 30 guys come back and they say, what is stronger than a lion? What is sweeter than honey? And he got mad. He said, if you had not ploughed with my heifer, you would not have known the answer. And then it says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to the neighbouring town, found 30 smartly dressed young men, and slaughtered them, took all their garments, took them back, handed them over. He probably said, don't worry about the claret, that's just a bit of staining on the... Hand of these garments over from... The eighth day of his wedding, what's he doing? He's out killing 30 people. So for the first 7 days, she's crying. The eighth day, he's out killing. He brings all the clothes back, hands them over, And then what does he do? He goes back to mum and dad. He doesn't take his wife. He doesn't stay there. It said he goes back to his father. So he's a newly... So the marriage is not off to a good start. He's left. He's gone back home. And then it says, at time of harvest, which indicates it's, you know, maybe a few months later. So he's been with his wife. She's been crying every day for 7 days. He goes out and kills 30 guys, goes back to dad, and then he thinks after a while, after a few months, I'm going to go back to her. So it says he took a young goat, went back to the father's house in Timnah, and he says, I'm going to go into her room. So he had a plan. He had the goat. He was going to go and see his wife. And what's the father say? He says, I was sure that you hated her. I've given her to one of your companions at the wedding feast. She's now his wife. Yeah, so she's gone. But he said, here, take the younger sister. She's more beautiful anyway. Take her. But he was angry. And what did he do? It says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And he went out. He found a dead donkey, ripped out the jawbone of this dead donkey, and viciously attacked the Philistines. It said he went crazy. Just with the jawbone of a dead donkey, he killed 1,000 Philistines. It's hard to imagine, because, I mean, these guys would have been armed. They would have been, you know, going for him. But just the Spirit of the Lord, when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, the enemy cannot stand. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, nothing else makes sense. Just that God will have his way. And he did. So it was a very violent time. We know, if you like reading through Judges, some of the stories in Judges would just turn your stomach, some of the things that were happening. Like, we see things going on today in Gaza and different parts of the world. This was next level. It was really crazy times. And then, so after he slaughters 1,000 men, he takes off up into the hills and goes to a cave up by Judah. And so the Philistines round up their army and they go after him. And the people of Judah come out and says, why have you come to attack us? And they said, we've come to get Samson. So they said, well, let us go and talk to him. So they go. So 3,000 guys, 3,000 armed men from the tribe of Judah go to Samson in the cave. So that tells you 3,000 just going to see him. And they said, what have you done? Don't you know that the Philistines rule over us? And he said, I merely did to them what they did to me. So they go in and they say to him, look, can we hand you over to the Philistines? We want to bind you. And he said, so long as you don't kill me, you can bind me and hand me over. So they go, they bind him with ropes, they take him out, and they hand him over to the Philistines. And now they see, the Philistines see him coming, and they shout, and they get so excited. Here's Samson, all bound, all tied up. We finally got him. But what happens? The Spirit of God comes upon him again. And it says the ropes just snap. They just fall off like charred ropes. They just fall to the ground. Actually, I might have got something out of order then. Maybe it was then. That's right. And again, he slaughters. He slaughters again. Now, it says that he ruled for 20 years. But he just seemed to go into a rage and kill. Like, Gideon had an army, but Samson didn't have an army. He was on his own. And a short while after that, it says he went to Gaza. And he goes to Gaza, and he went to a prostitute in Gaza, and he said, I went into a house and he's going to spend the night there. So he's in the house with the prostitute, and the word gets around, Gaza, Samson's here. So the whole city, all the men come out with their arms, and they said, we're going to lay in wait for him, and then in the morning, we're going to get him. We're going to get him in the morning. And then in the middle of the night, he gets up, goes to the city gates, but they're all barred and bolted and secured. The city's in lockdown because they're set a trap for him. Now, if you read a bit of history about the gates in the cities, we know like Jericho was a walled city, so he's in a walled city, and there's these huge big gates. Now, the main gates, they're a timber gate, but they're lined with bronze, so they can't, you know, you can't attack them with an axe. You can't just set them on fire because they're lined with bronze metal. And they had big iron bars across the back, so you couldn't bash them in. And they're about 3 meters high by about 3 meters wide, and they're quite thick, and they're lined with bronze. And it says he picked up the gates with the gateposts and the iron bars. So you couldn't even do that with a crane because they're buried in the ground. He picked them up, put him on his shoulders, and ran up the hill. Ran up the hill with, you know, about 2 or 3 tons of iron and bronze and timber on his back, and he was gone. So the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. But then a short time later, so his marriage hadn't really gone that well. It only lasted 1 week. And then he went back for her, and that didn't work out. And then he found this prostitute, and then that didn't work out. And now he finds another woman he likes called Delilah. But this time he didn't bother getting married, so he was just hooked up with Delilah. And she was a Philistine. And the Philistine, all the leaders of the city came to her and said, we will give you each 1,100 shekels of silver if you can find out the strength, what the secret to his great strength. So I don't know how many leaders there were, but 1,100 times how many, that's a lot of silver. So what does she do? She starts working on him. Samson, what is the key to your great strength? What is it? What is it? Tell me. And he says, if you bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings that have never been used, I will become as weak as any other man. So it says, she lulled him off to sleep in her lap, bound him with 7 bowstrings, and then called out, Samson, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And she had guys hiding in the room. He jumps up and they just fall off. And she says, you've made a fool out of me. She didn't think, well, you know, I've tried to deceive you, I've tried to trick you, I've tried to, you know, I'm coming against you. But no, you've made a fool out of me. You've mocked me. So again, she goes, she doesn't give up. Again, what's the secret to your strength? She's in his ear. Do you know, the devil does not know what's in your mind, what's in your heart. God knows everything. God knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. God knows what you're thinking, but the devil doesn't. The devil can only work with what you give him. And he gave out a bit too much information. But he's still holding on. So he says, if you bind me with new ropes that have never been used, I'll become as weak as any other man. Again, she lulls him off to sleep in her lap, gets the new ropes, binds him up, has guys hiding in the house. Samson, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. Again, he jumps up and they just snap off, like it says, as if you put a thread into the fire and it just snaps. There was nothing there. And again, she says, you've mocked me again. You've made a fool of me. I don't know why he didn't turn around and say, well, you're trying to dob me in. What are you doing to me? But anyway, no, you've made a fool of me. You've mocked me. Once more, she doesn't give up. Samson, Samson, tell me, what is the key to your strength? This time, it says that he had 7 long braids of hair, because we know that his hair's never been cut. We don't know how old he is, but I mean, he must have long hair. He said, if you take the 7 braids of my hair and wind it into the fabric on the loom and put a pin through it, I will become as weak as any other man. So surprise, surprise, what happens? Again, she lulls him off to sleep. She must have been his sleeping tablet. She had the right medicine for him. Anyway, he's asleep. She weaves his hair into the loom, puts a pin through it, and again, she's got the guys hiding. Samson, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. Out they come, up he jumps, and just rips it all off, and he's free again. And this time she says, how can you say that you love me when you keep doing this? You keep mocking me. And it says that day after day after day, she nagged him. Now, women can be very good at that. Day after day after day. Ouch. And what happened? It wore him down. It wore him down. That's going to cost me. And he gave up. And he told her. He said, I'm a Nazarite from birth, and no razor has ever touched my head. And if my hair is shaved, I will become as weak as any other man. And she says, this time he has told me, this time. So they all come with their bags of silver. Here, Delilah, take the money. She took all the silver, and again, she lulled him to sleep, shaved his head. Samson, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He jumps up. He thinks it's all the same as before, but the Spirit of the Lord had left him. The Spirit of the Lord had left him. They grabbed him, and they gouged out his eyes. They just popped his eyeball out and ripped it off. Plucked his eyes out. Took him, threw him into prison, and they had him working on the grain mill. So he was grinding grain, operating this grain mill in the prison with no eyesight and no strength. But it says, after a time, his hair grew. His hair began to grow, and the Spirit of the Lord returned. And they were having, it was their a time of celebration for their god Dagon. Now, we hear a few stories about Dagon, but they were celebrating Dagon, and they were saying, surely Dagon has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one that multiplied our slain. He has delivered him, taken his strength and delivered him to us. So they were quite excited that they had Samson in their power, and they were having this big celebration in the temple. And it says the whole temple was full. The whole building was crowded, and there was 3,000 up on the roof just come to celebrate. And they said, let's bring him out so he can have him entertain us. Like, let's have a bit of sport with him, because, you know, he's got no strength now. Let's bring him out and have a bit of fun. So they send for him down into the dungeon, bring him out, and they're having a bit of fun with him. And then he said to the young lad who's guiding him around, "Let me feel the two temples, the two pillars of the temples, that I can just have a bit of a rest." So they lead him out, bring him into the two pillars, which must have been very close together, because he said he could put out his hands, his left hand and his right hand. And this is the first time that we see that he prayed. Even though, you know, he'd been leading Israel for 20 years, this is the first time that he called out to God. And he said, "God, let me avenge my two eyes." Because he was all the way through, it was all about vengeance and getting revenge. Every time he was killing people, it was all about revenge. So he said, "Let me get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes." And he called out to God, and his strength returned. And he put his hands onto one pillar and on the other pillar and pushed with all his might, and down came the temple of Dagon. And it says that he killed more in his death than what he did in all his life. But, you know, God wants us to be faithful all the way through, not just to have, you know, a spurt here or a spurt there or a spurt there when the Spirit comes upon us, but to walk in the Spirit every day. And like Jelly was saying this morning in communion, are you ready? Are you ready? Because a lot of Samson's life, it just seemed to be a mess. He was just, even like he said, he ruled for 20 years, but what, he didn't actually have anyone. He was just by himself. When he did have a woman, she wasn't with him anyway. She was against him. But God has a plan and God has a purpose. And his heart is for us. His heart is for us. He wants the best. "Choose you this day whom you will serve." And his Spirit can come upon you. His Spirit can do things that you wouldn't think were possible. His Spirit will do things that you can't imagine. Eye has not seen or ear heard the things that God has in store. They are mighty. They are awesome. Look up from where your strength comes from. If you look around, you'll see lots of things that will distract you. The things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The things of this world are a lie. You'll have God speaking in one ear, you'll have the devil in the other ear. Choose life. There's always more than one voice. The voice of the Lord is the only one that can deliver you. The voice of the Lord is only one that can bring hope and salvation. So today, choose life. Tomorrow, choose life. Tuesday, choose life. Every day, choose. Don't just take any day for granted. Make a choice. Make a choice every day. Hallelujah. Let's just stand. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you that your hand is upon us. Lord, I thank you that your word is alive, your word is powerful, your word is sharp, your word divides and conquers. Thank you, Father. Lord, I ask that you give us courage, that we will not live in fear, but we will live in boldness and courage. And Lord, that we would have the strength to trust and obey, for there's no other way. That we would be faithful to your word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that your word never fails. Your word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed. Be blessed. Have a good week. Thank you for coming along today. And remember, Friday night, we've got our dinner. Bring something to eat, because I need a good feed. Hallelujah. Amen.